Malachi chapter 3. And Jada was joking with me this morning, and we've had a lot of people text us this morning about health issues and sickness that's going on. But she said, Mark, you should have never said that you were going to teach on tithing this Sunday. That's where nobody showed up for church. But I'm glad you guys are here. So if you have your Bibles, I'm also going to have it up here on the screen. We're going to go to Malachi chapter 3 here in just a second. And we've been in this series. Today's going to be the last. I really feel like today's the last message of this series on the double blessing. And just so you know, today I've been kind of going backwards in this series, okay? We started off the first Sunday and we talked about what the name blessing is in Hebrew. It's the word baruch, right? We remember that. We studied Numbers chapter 6 and broke down the sixfold part of blessing of Numbers chapter 6. And then the next Sunday, we talked about seeding the clouds. And that's whenever there's things that we can do to position ourselves to receive God's blessings. And then last week we talked about, and I'm going to kind of cover that again today, but last week we talked about, we asked the question, am I generous? Am I really a generous person? And so we asked that. And then today, the title of today's message is called The Second Harvest. And that'll make sense here in just a little bit. But what we've been studying this series about the double blessing, this is kind of the word for us for this year of 2022, the double blessing, how to get it, how to give it, is before original sin, before Genesis chapter 3, there was Genesis chapter 1, and that's where the original blessing took place. So God, the blessing, and this is something you have to renew your mind to, blessing is God's most ancient instinct. It's his default setting, his first and foremost reflex, and if you don't believe that, you'll doubt the goodness of God. Any theology that starts with original sin and not original blessing is false theology. Blessing is the heart of our Heavenly Father. And so we looked at, and some of this, if you've been here, some of this is on repeat, okay? Because you've got to hear things over and over and over. That's how faith comes. God wants to bless you beyond your ability to ask or imagine. God has blessings in categories you cannot even conceive of. Blessing is a decision to make, a habit to form, and a mindset to establish. We're going to learn how to get it and also how to give it as well. That's what we call flip the blessing. God doesn't bless us to raise our standard of living. God blesses us to raise our standard of giving. You're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to bless. And the way we turn a blessing into a double blessing is by flipping the blessing. And we learned about what the blessing is not. The blessing is not good luck. I can guarantee you, if you see somebody that's blessed, they've done some things in their life to position themselves to be blessed. Blessing is not just health, wealth, and prosperity. Blessing can also, those are byproducts of the blessing. But what the true blessing is having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what the true blessing is. And so the blessing is just not just health, wealth, and prosperity. It's also joy, peace, contentment, and also healthy relationships. The third thing that we learned about what the blessing is not is blessing is not zero gravity, which that just means no problems. The blessing, actually the blessing of God will complicate your life. And we talked about that. Jesus said in John 16:33, be of good cheer. In this world you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have problems. But be of good cheer, have overcome the world. So you're going to go through things. The blessing is like having God's umbrella over your life. You can still feel the effects of the storm that's going on around you, but you're covered by God. Everybody understand that? You're still going to go through things. We go through things in life. We live in a fallen world. And so we studied about this where we said that the blessing of God will complicate your life. This was in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. And we talked about what the blessing was in that parable. And the blessing wasn't a vacation or a pay raise, hashtag blessed. It was this. The blessing was more, what God blessed him with was more work and more responsibilities. So to whom much is given, much is required. And then we talked about this last Sunday, is to grow in generosity and the grace of giving. We have to give spontaneously, and I encouraged you all to have a God pocket. You've got to have at least $20. Remember, you know, not 5, 10 spot, but 20 and above. Number two is we give consistently, and that's taught in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, where that talks about every Sunday we're to be giving. That may not work on your schedule with how you get paid. It may be every 2 weeks or once a month or whatever. We're supposed to give proportionately. That's Malachi 3:10. We're going to study that today about the tithe, which is 10%. And then the fourth thing was is to give radically. You know, I wanted to stretch you and start thinking about, have you ever thought about a double tithe or reverse the tithe? Live off the 10% and give 90%. And some people look at you like a deer looking, you know, in the headlights, or a cow looking at a new gate. And there's actually somebody that did that in their lifetime, and that was J.C. Penney. And you might say, well, yeah, he started that after he got all of his stores going and all that. No, he started that from day one and then grew it from there and grew into that giving. So grow in your generosity and the grace of giving. And today's message is called The Second Harvest. And I'm going to go through just real quick. Is everybody ready for a recap real quick from last Sunday? All right, real quick, I'm going to read John 12, verses 1 through 8, because this was our main scripture text last Sunday, and we were asking the question, am I generous? It says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this day for my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. And so we talked about last Sunday how in this passage of Scripture there's two hearts displayed. There's the generous heart, which was Mary, and then there's the selfish heart, which was Judas. And so what revealed their hearts was giving. Okay? And so we talked about, there's three things that we talked about last Sunday. The enemy of generosity. The enemy of generosity is selfishness. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you can't be selfish. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. One of them is going to be on the throne in your life, and it needs to be God Almighty. And everybody said, amen, and not the almighty dollar. So if you have a hard time remembering this, G, God is generous. G, Satan is selfish. It's both start with an S, all right? And we talked about the introduction to property law from a toddler's perspective. We all have this deal where we think, you know, the tithe is ours and everything that God gives us is ours. It's not ours, it's his anyway, all of it, all 100% of it. And we talked about toddlers, you know, one of the first words that they learn is mine, mine. And Jarek has got that down, mine. And yesterday, Taya talked to us and she said she was praising Jarek because yesterday he played with another little boy and he was actually sharing and he wasn't doing the mine thing. And so she, mom was excited about that. And so here's the toddler's perspective is this. If I like it, it's mine. If I can take it away from you, it's mine. If it looks like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you're having fun with it, it's mine. If you lay it down, it's mine. If it's broken, and then it's yours. That's the toddler thing. And so then the second thing we learned was the extravagance of generosity. And this is 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And we talked about giving your time, your talents, and your treasures to the Lord. And I know we're talking about this in money terms because there's nothing that tests the heart than money, okay? And I don't have time to go into all this teaching in depth, but just to let you know that King David, in our day and dollar, What he gave to the temple at one point was would have been worth $21 billion. That's with the B, to the temple. The widow gave two mites. Mary, in this John chapter 12, she actually gave a year's wage to the Lord. She actually poured it out on his feet. And what I tried to tell us all last week is it's not the amount that makes it extravagant. It's the heart and the attitude in which it was given. And everybody said, amen. Three levels, you know, I can tell you, when we built this church out here, and I can remember going to Art Harris, who's went home to be with the Lord now at the bank in Elk City, and told him what we needed and didn't have the paperwork to show it. Thank God that I found a banker that would bank on faith, right? And because we didn't have the resources to show that, and just kind of showed him what we'd done up to this point. And he asked me, he said, Mark, how much do you think you're going to need to complete this building out here? And this was in addition to everybody giving and everything. And I said, we're probably going to need right at, I bet, you know, to finish it, everything. This was back in 2008. I said, we're going to need around $300,000. And I can remember going home. I can remember what our payment was downtown on the building downtown, and then figuring up the payment on this. And I was like, oh, God. You know, you better show up. And I'm telling you, and we didn't have, there was no really ginormous gift through that whole time. This is what I was praying. Lord, have somebody show up and just give us a check for $300,000 and we get it done. And it didn't happen like that. It came at $5 at a time is how it came. In fact, there was in that process over our building, and we had a 15-year note. And we were able to pay it off, I think. I know Dusty's not in here right now, but we paid it off in 7 years. Just through that kind of, just this small congregation and giving. So this ministry, this church, is debt-free to the glory of God. Amen? That's awesome. And it was through y'all's giving that we were able to do that. But there was a couple of large offerings during that time. I mean, not just humongous, not the $300,000 that I'd been praying for, but one of the giving that, and this is when we were downtown, and I love this story, I'll never forget it. And she's grown now and has her own children now, but she was a little bitty girl at that time. We were down in our building downtown, and it was Chelsea Dykes is who it was. Is that her name, Chelsea? Yeah, and she had been babysitting. She was kind of in the 12, 13-year-old range at that time. She'd been babysitting, and she'd been making some money. And she caught me after church and said, Pastor Mark, I've been praying about, because I want to sow into our building fund. And I said, that's great, you know. And she said, here. And she gave me a $5 bill, you know. And I'll never forget that. And she gave that in faith. And that $5 went to building this building out here. And it just snowballed after that. But there's three levels of giving in scripture, and there's the tithe, there's offerings, and then there's extravagant offerings. I heard one guy say there's tithes, there's offerings, and then there's painful offerings is what he called them. But those are the three levels of giving in scripture, and this is the latest poll out in the Christian world. Only 5 to 7% of Christians tithe. Only 93 to 95% get to the first level of giving. And you can't, here's the other thing that you can't do, and we talked about this, you can't designate the tithe. The tithe goes to your local storehouse where you're fed the word of God, okay? And people, so that's what the tithe is. And guys, I just want you to stop and think about this. If every person that went to church on planet Earth would give of their tithe, we could reach this world for Jesus, and we could go home, because it takes money to reach the world, all right? It takes money to get the gospel out. Number three is the reward of generosity. And this was the other part of the story that was told in Mark chapter 14 about Mary. It says, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And so here I am talking about her 2,000 years later because of something she gave to Jesus. She anointed him for burial. Mary gave out of a grateful heart, a thankful heart, because her brother had been raised from the dead. She actually saw Jesus do that. And so generosity comes from a heart of gratitude. Generosity is when you give expecting nothing in return, and selfishness is when you give expecting something in return. So the reward of generosity is God's blessings. And then I ended last week with this scripture, because last week was about Valentine's Day. 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18, it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us," talking about Jesus, "and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So I gave a challenge last week, and I said, I want you to start tithing to your local church, wherever that's at, because I know I have people that listen to this online. They also listen to this on the radio. If your local church is not Harvest Fellowship Church, then you need to start tithing to your local church. Create a God pocket for offerings, and that just means, you know, you're going to have to budget for this, but have a, you know, an offering set aside. Maybe it's something that's going on at the church. Maybe it's, you know, your offerings you can designate to where they go. Maybe it's an individual, somebody in your family, or somebody you work with. And then I challenge you to volunteer your time to serve the Lord at church in children's ministry and youth ministry. So I appreciate everybody that has done that. So today, everybody like the recap? Okay, we're going to learn a heavy revelation today, all right? Now here's the deal. This is something I try to teach on every year. And if I had to say right off the cuff what is something that needs to be taught in the body of Christ every year, this is one of them. And the other thing is overcoming offenses, because that will keep you stunted in growth. I'm going to get a little redneck here with you. Ty Barker, who comes to church here and preaches every now and then, you know, we have him come in once or twice a year, Ty and Debbie Barker. He's in staff at Tulsa. And one day we were talking, and I told him, I said, well, we were talking about something that was going on in the church. And I said, well, the problem is they're butt hurt. And he goes, Mark, I've never even, yeah, I'm going to say that from the pulpit. I said that. And he said, Mark, I've never even heard that phrase. And I said, that is somebody that's been offended. And he goes, I'm going back to Tulsa and I'm doing a series called Overcoming Butt Hurts. I said, do it, brother. But that's what, and those two things, if you're offended, which lets in unforgiveness, it's going to stunt your spiritual growth. You've got to walk in forgiveness, all right? And then this one, what I'm going to teach on today about tithe is, I want to tell you this, the church doesn't need your money, God doesn't need your money. The reason why I'm teaching on this is because God wants you blessed, and God loves you, all right? God, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He, you know, he doesn't need help paying his light bill in heaven. He is light. The streets of gold, you know, his asphalt is gold. He doesn't need our money, but he's teaching us this principle because he wants to bless us. Okay, so now we're going to go into Malachi chapter 3. Verses 6 through 12. And I'll be honest with you, I have argued with God about where he put this passage of Scripture at. I said, God, this would, it have been really nice if you'd have put this in the New Testament. I'm talking even after John, all right? Matt, if you want to get technical, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still in the Old Testament, even though that's the Gospels. But I'm like, God, I wish you'd have put this text somewhere in the epistles, you know, where the Apostle Paul. And God said, no, Mark, I put it exactly where I want it at. Because one of the things that people argue with over this, what I'm going to teach you about on the tithe, they'll say, oh, that's just the law. That's just under the law. That's in the Old Testament. Or I'm going to show you in Scripture today where it was before the law. All right, it was even before the law. An example, I'm going to just throw this one out there because some of you may be like that, somebody listening or listening on the radio or whatever, is... thou shalt not commit adultery is under the law. Is it still relevant today? Yeah. In fact, if you'll read the scriptures, Jesus took it a step further. And so really grace, if you want to get real technical today, grace actually supersedes the law. Meaning this, God, Jesus took it a step further. thou said, you know, don't commit adultery. And he said, I tell you this, if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Oh, God, you know. Well, how many of us need grace this morning, okay? The grace. We need grace. We need grace. And so it was before the law. So please get that out of your mind. Some of you have grown up in religious churches, and I don't want to call anybody dumb or ignorant or anything like that, but we are ignorant because we've never been taught this. And I'll never forget the time I was ignorant. I'd never been taught this. And when a pastor started teaching it, I was like, oh, God, here we go. You know, he's wanting my money, you know, and he's going to pass the offering plate here at the end and all this and coerce everybody to get. I'm not going to do that, all right? But I'm teaching you this principle because God wants you blessed. And actually, in this series, this message is what I should have started with, but I'm ending with it. And there's a reason for that, just because this is something that you really need to get. Malachi 3, verses 6 through 12 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Okay? "Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." I want you to know that says the Lord of hosts. It doesn't say says Pastor Mark. All right? This is God speaking to us, all right? It's not a pastor. It says, "But you said, in what way shall we return?" And God says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Okay? And so, to receive it. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." So there's so many things that tithing does, but here's what does tithing do? And I'm going to give you the three things out of Malachi 3, verses 6 through 12. Tithing removes the curse, tithing rebukes the devourer, which is Satan, and tithing restores the blessing. Those are the three things that the tithing does. Now, if you're taking notes, those are the first three points. I'm going to give you three more, all right? Here's number one. Tithing is a test. Tithe means 10% of one's annual income. It's not any 10%, it's the first 10%. The tithe isn't just an act of obedience, it's a statement of faith, is what it is. Tithing is trusting God, and it also keeps greed and selfishness in check. That's what the tithe embodies. So every time you get paid, how many of you get paid once a week? All right. How many of you get paid twice a month? Okay, some of you. How many of you get paid once a month? How many of you get paid? There's some hands that haven't went up. Somebody's like, I never get paid. You know, Mark's over here. I never get paid. Well, every time that you get paid, tithing is a test. There's your test. Are you going to give God the first 10%? And so the number 10 in Scripture, tithe means 10%. I'll never forget, I had a guy come up to me one time in church. This is the reason why I tried it. Some of you in here, or I can look around the room, and I know how some of you in here, you tithe, all right? And so this is going to be a review for you. Some of you may have never heard this before, and I'll never forget, there was a guy that came to church one time, it's been years ago, and he came up to me and he said, "Pastor Mark," he goes, "what's a tither?" And I was like, "You talking about tetherball, you know, or whatever?" He goes, "No, a tither." And I finally put two and two together. No, tither. So I had to explain to him what a tither was. He didn't even have no idea. And I love people like that don't have no idea, because they can be taught. Amen. They'll have to get rid of a bunch of religious junk. And but that's what tithe is. It's 10% of your income. And the number 10 in Scripture always means test. The number 10 means test. I'll give you an example of this, or several examples of this. How many plagues were there in Egypt? 10. Okay, this is an easy test. They're all 10, all right? How many commandments are there? How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? How many times were Jacob's wages changed? How many days was Daniel tested? How many virgins were tested in Matthew chapter 25? How many days of testing are mentioned in Revelation? How many disciples were there? No, there's 12. Okay. I had to catch you off guard there. But so tithing is a test. Tithing is a test. And in this book, I'm going to read something out of this book. I encourage you, if you haven't got this, The Double Blessing by Mark Batterson. It's really good. But Jewish farmers wouldn't harvest their fields all at once. This is the way the Jewish farmers did it. They would harvest the first fruits, take that first 10% to the temple. Then and only then would they return to their farms and harvest the rest of their fields. And according to Levitical law, if they honored God with the tithe, God would bless them in what was known as the second harvest. And so that's why I'm titling this The Second Harvest. I'm going to read something out of this book, and it's in page, or it's actually on chapter 13, and this is where somebody put God to the test. Tithing is a test. It's a test to us, but the Bible says in Malachi 3, what I just read, is you can test God with that. God, it's only where in Scripture where you can test God, and you need to do that. If you haven't done it already, you can test God, prove Him. One translation says prove Him in that. I'll never forget the first time Jade and I started tithing. We've been tithing since 1993, and the first time we tithed, I can remember sitting down, and we both had jobs, and we weren't making very much money, and we needed every dime we could get. And I remember sitting down and figuring up our tithe. I was like, God, there ain't no way. There is no way we're going to be able to make it this month if I give that to You, that first 10%. God said, you know, I remember to the pastor teaching the Sunday. This was on a Monday. On a Sunday, we didn't do it Sunday, we did it on a Monday, and he said, Mark, you need to trust Me in this, and you need to, and remember, test Me. So I said, okay, God, I'm putting You to test. I want to see if Your word is true. So I did it, and I was working at a bank at that time, and somebody came in. Actually, we did that on a Sunday. Let me take that back. On Monday, I was at work, and a lady came in and said, Mark, I got up this morning. And it was a lady that we go to church with, and she had no idea, okay? This is how she, and she got it, and she came and brought me this little card. And she goes, Mark, I got up this morning, and she goes, you and Jada were just on my hearts, and I was praying and praying for y'all, and God told me to do something, so here, I'm just going to give this to you. And I said, okay, thank you. And it was just a little card, and I just thought it was a card, maybe it was, you know, encouraging word in it or something. And I opened it up, and it was actually our tithe plus about $20. That was in that card for us. And from that moment on, I've never doubted God with the tithe. And it works, guys. Don't ask me how. It doesn't make sense on when you put it on black and white. But God can make 90% go more than 100% with your blessing on it. Okay? But with God's blessing on it, He can make 90 go further than the 100. And it's amazing. And there's story after story. I've even heard stories within our own church of things that have happened. And so God, you just can't outgive God, all right? And this is an area that He wants you to test Him in. And I'm going to read this because this is where a guy put God to the test on this with wheat. It says, on July the 30th, 1945, Time Magazine published an article about a rather fascinating experiment. It wasn't a science experiment like the Manhattan Project, which had tested the first atomic bomb 2 weeks before. It was an experiment of a very different nature. The hypothesis to be tested was a verse of Scripture, which was Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. The mad scientist was a businessman named Perry Hayden, the president of Hayden Flour Mills. And in the months following that conference, and I'm skipping down, someone sent Perry a pamphlet on tithing. He had grown up in church, but somehow he had never heard of the concept. He decided to take the tithe challenge and began giving God the first 10% of his income. It wasn't an easy decision, given the fact that his business was losing money at the time. But his business experienced such a significant turnaround in the wake of that decision that he felt like the turnaround could be attributed only to God. Many years later, Perry Hayden got a crazy idea while listening to a sermon on John chapter 12, verse 24, and Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the ground, in the soil, and dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." So Perry Hayden wanted to prove the veracity of this verse in a unique way and test the hypothesis in Malachi 3:10. That's where we double back to the experiment featured in Time magazine. On September the 26th, 1940, Perry Hayden planted 360 kernels of sturdy, bald rock wheat seeds on a plot of ground measuring 4 by 4 feet. It may have been the world's smallest wheat field. He then vowed to tithe on the harvest 1 year later and do so for 6 years according to the ancient Jewish agricultural laws found in Leviticus 25. Perry would sow the field for 6 years, then let it Sabbath the seventh year. Okay, this is out of a 4 by 4 wheat field. In 1941, 1 square inch of kernels turned in 45 cubic inches after the tithe. In 1942, they experienced a 55-fold yield, or 70 pounds. They tithed the wheat and replanted the remaining 63 pounds on a farm owned by Perry's friend, Henry Ford. That'd be a great friend to have, wouldn't it, back then? In 1943, 1 acre of land yielded 16 bushels from 1 bushel of seed. Henry Ford provided the reaper and the thresher. Then he provided his farm for the fourth planting. In 1944, 14 acres yielded 380 bushels. A tenth of that crop was tithed, and the rest was replanted. It took 230 acres and a fleet of 40 combines to harvest it in 1945. It yielded 5,555 bushels. At that point, after tithing on the fifth year's harvest, the 5,000 bushels of wheat were turned over to 276 farmers who planted them on 2,666 acres. Every one of those farmers agreed to tithe on the harvest to their church that they belonged to. In 1946, Michigan's governor, Harry Kelly, declared August the first Biblical Wheat Day. That's the day Perry Hayden celebrated the sixth and final harvest. What started as 360 kernels planted on a 4 by 4 foot plot of land resulted in a harvest of 72,150 bushels of wheat valued at approximately $150,000. Adjusted for inflation, it'd be worth $1.4 million in today's dollars. Thus ended one of the most amazing tithing experiments in history. Wow, that's awesome. And so tithing is a test, and he put God to the test, and God proved that test out. Here's number two. Tithing is biblical, all right? It's all through the Word of God. It's before the law, it's after the law. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Tithe is mentioned 41 times in the Bible, and over half of them are not in the law. 8 times in the New Testament, and 1 is written in red. And we're going to look at the 1 written in red, too. I'm going to go back before the law. Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. This is 500 years before the law. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. There's you some communion. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. And that was 500 years before the law. Genesis 28, verse 22, this is 400 years before the law. And this is where God appears to Jacob. And it says, Jacob says, in this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So there's the tithe again. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So there it is in the Old Testament. That's in the law as well. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 2, and then I'm going to read down verses 13 through 15. Has everybody learned something today? Everybody's like, I wish I'd have stayed home today. Okay, good. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, and you can't take that you shall take some of the first of the produce of the ground which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. That's the church. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, "I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow." That's how they gave back in the Old Testament. "According to all your commandments, which you have commanded me, I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them." Okay. Verse 14, he says, I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy... This is the only tithers can pray this prayer. Verse 15, look down from heaven, look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, that's the prayer of somebody that's a tither. Matthew 23, verse 23. I know you can't really tell that on the screen, but I put that in red so you realize that this is Jesus speaking. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and peace, or justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. What's implied there, Jesus is saying, you still need to tithe, okay? Still need to bring the tithe into the storehouse. Hebrews 7, verse 8. These are just a few scriptures I'm giving you today. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he, Jesus, receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he, Jesus, lives. So every day that you, when you bring your tithe into your local church, you're saying tithing is a witness to the resurrection. That's what that's saying. Isn't that awesome? All right. Now I'm going to tell you something. I've been pastoring now for 22 years, and I can tell you the people that are tithers and givers complain the least. They're happier. They're more joyful. The people that don't give are the complainers. I'll never forget one time. And I don't look at, I just want you to know as a pastor, I don't look at everybody's giving, all right? But I could bet you I could tell the ones that are giving and the ones that are not, just based on what I just said. I'll never forget one time, I'm going to tell you a story, and I know I share this a lot, but just because it still makes me mad. I'm just going to tell you right now, still makes me mad. But I had a guy, here's my message on offense that I still need to get over, but I had a guy just rubbed me the wrong way so many times, it was not even funny, but it was good for me because it was knocking off the chunks and polishing me up as well. But he was always wanting to know how the church was doing, the giving, and those, our books are open. Dusty does a great job taking care of our church books and all this, but his heart and the manner that he was coming at that situation was just wrong, you know, because he was just wanting to see, he was basically wanting to see how much I made, what was going on in the church, who all was giving, all this kind of stuff. And I started, so our oversight is Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches. And this was really getting to me because I was like, his spirit was all wrong the way he was going about it. And so I asked our oversight, which is Mike Dyer at Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches, and I was explaining to him what was going on. And I said, Mike, I need some wisdom and just tell me what to do. I've never faced this as a pastor. And I want to do the right thing. And he said, well, Mark, he goes, have you checked his giving records? And I said, no. And he said, well, he goes, you need to have a policy in your church that, you know, if you're a regular giver, then yeah, the church books are open to you, you know, if you have a question about something. But if they don't give, they don't need to be seeing any of that. I was like, well, that's a good policy to have. And he said, before you do anything, I would check his giving. And I said, okay. That time, I think he'd been coming to church here for a little bit. And I went and looked at his giving. The whole time he'd been coming to church here, and I still remember this number to this day, is he had given $71. And I'm going to tell you what, I took half a baby aspirin and got over it pretty quick, as Ricky Griffin would say, you know. But there's just, that's somebody whose heart was not into giving is what I'm trying to tell you. But it's sad. When somebody's like that, I can promise you, it's just they don't have a generous heart is what I'm trying to say. And so what I've heard from people that are givers around is this. There's two things that I've heard. When somebody's a tither, they always say, we are so blessed. And it's not just financially. It's just in every arena of life. And then the other thing that I've heard as a pastor from people, either we are so blessed, or number two is we can't afford to tithe. And so let me share this with you. I understand that. I was there at one time. We can't afford to tithe. Tithers always say that they are blessed, while those who don't tithe say they can't afford to tithe. And you will never be able to afford to tithe until you start to tithe. That's all I can say. And I know that doesn't make any kind of sense in the natural, but you will never be able to afford to tithe until you start to tithe. Tithing, what tithing does, remember what we read in Malachi chapter 3, and this is where you've got to trust God, put him to the test, and understand this. And I just pray that you get this revelation today. Tithing removes the curse, rebukes the devourer, and restores the blessing. That's what tithing does. Okay, here's number three. Tithing is personal. Tithing is personal. And I've already told these three guys that I was going to use them as an example in church. And I've already told Clark, so you guys don't leave here today and think, God, me, Pastor Mark just beat up on Clark today. Because I am fixing to throw Clark underneath the bus and underneath both back tires at the same time in this analogy, okay? So he's already been, I already told him this beforehand, but this is the third thing. Tithing is personal. And I'm gonna tell you, it's personal with you as you give, with you and your relationship with God, but it's also, and I'm gonna flip the script here just a little bit, is tithing is personal to God, okay? Because what we read in Malachi chapter 3, and we teach here at Harvest Fellowship Church, because I don't see where God has done away with it, is it's still relevant today. And tithing is personal to God, because he says in Malachi chapter 3, you're robbing me when you do this. And what you're and I want you to understand this, God don't need your money. What you're robbing God from, you're robbing God from blessing you. Everybody, okay, everybody got that? You're robbing God from, that's what you're robbing him. He's a good father. He wants to bless you. And I pray that this analogy will help you. This analogy really helped me when I heard this. And there's three guys in this example. And so I picked out Mark Ward, Luke, and Clark. And I told them I was going to use those three guys. And I'm not going to have them come up here and stand or stand up or anything. But those are my three guys that I'm picking out. And so in this example, this is going to sound bad because I'm going to throw Clark under the bus. In this example, I'm God, all right, in this example that I'm about to, this story. So I'm God, and I'm telling them that I'm going to be away, and I've got to go away. So I'm giving you three guys, I'm giving each one of you $10,000 a month, all right? But here's what I want you to do is out of that $10,000, I need you to take care of my wife. And I want you to take care of her really well. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to tithe to my wife to take care of her while I'm gone. But I'm going to continue to give you this $10,000 a month. So if you understand this, the math on that, the tithe is $1,000, right? Okay. So after 3 months, I come back. And I'm checking up and seeing how these guys are doing with what I've asked them to do. And I find out that Mark has been obedient to the T. Mark has given Jada, in this example, my wife, has given her $1,000 a month. Every time he got paid, that was the first check he wrote, $1,000 went to Jada. And Jada's told me he's done that every month, first of the month, and he's given $3,000. And I say, okay, Mark's been obedient. She goes, what about Luke? She goes, oh, my gosh, you ain't going to believe what Luke's done. And I said, what's Luke done? She goes, well, Luke, he gave me the $1,000 that first month. And he said, you know what, I can live off the $9,000 pretty easily. And so I gave her the $1,000, to start off with. The second month, I realized, you know what, I'm going to give her more because I can live off the $8,000 and take care of my family and everything. So he gave her $2,000 the second month. And she goes, honey, you're not going to believe what he did the third month. I said, what did he do the third month? Well, he came to me and said, you know what? I can live off $7,000 pretty easy. I'm going to give her $3,000. So he went one. His generosity, I want you to see it, grew each month. $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. I said, well, what about Clark? And she goes, I don't know if I want to tell you about Clark. I said, no, you got to tell a guy. They gave these three guys specific instructions on what to do and how to take care of you. You've told me Mark did it to a T. You've told me Luke has went above and beyond. Now, I want to know about Clark, okay? This is where Clark goes under the bus, by the way. All right. She said, well, Clark, the first month he came to me with some stories and said, I'm just, I, I, I know he told me 1,000, but I'm going to give you 700. And then the next month, he said some other stuff came up, and he said he knew that she told him 1,000, and he gave me 300. And honey, he hasn't even been to me this month. So he's given me zero this month. Now, in this example, and I'm talking about tithing is personal to God, all right? Who do you think God is, in out of those three guys, who God's going to bless even more? Yeah, Luke. Yeah. And Mark, because Mark was obedient. But Luke, but what do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's going to give anything? Is he going to bless and give anything more to Clark? Okay. Guys, and we's like, man, this is getting really personal, Pastor Mark. Yes, because tithing is personal to God. Matthew chapter 25, when you go read the parable of the talents, he gives to those that are multiplying that gift, right? That's who he gives to. He doesn't give to the one that goes and hides it or spends it on himself or whatever. So I just, this was, when I heard this, it really helped me to understand how personal tithing is to God. In this situation, what you realize in this, and I know I made this about me and Jada is my wife, but in the body of Christ, there's God, and the bride of Christ is Jesus' wife. Everybody understand that? So he's gone right now. So we're taking care of the body of Christ, the church. And so he's commanded us to bring our tithe to the storehouse, to our local church, to take care of his wife. And everybody said, amen. So don't rob from God. Don't steal from God. If you're obedient to this, I promise you guys, just test God in this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I cannot stress that enough. God will blow your socks off. So tithing is personal to God, and the church is the bride of Christ. And when you don't tithe, you're actually robbing God of the opportunity to bless you. That's what's going on. Everybody said, everybody learned something today? Okay. All right. And wherever you're at in life, I just want to encourage you to start starting. All right? Start starting. All right. I want to pray over us today. Father God, forgive us when we have not obeyed your ordinance and tithe as we should have. And help us to be faithful in this area just as you're faithful to us. Help us to be bold and test you in this area. Thank you for teaching us this principle today. And Lord, we pray that you will open the windows of heaven and change people's lives with your mercy, your grace, and your overflowing blessings. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. And just want you to, you know, your personal relationship with the Lord. I know most of you in here, but I do this every Sunday because I don't know where everybody's at. There's going to be people that's online this morning. There's going to be people listening to this on the radio as well. And I just want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And this is in Romans chapter 10. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So even if you are saved and you have a relationship with the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, now if this is the first time you prayed that prayer, you've never done this, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. We can do that next Sunday. And just get with me after service. And Jada, will you come up here? And I want everybody to stand up. And if you're there with your family, I want you to join hands with them. And we're going to speak God's blessing over you today. Did everybody learn something today?
Amen.
All right. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, I am a tither. Amen.